Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 170, Fusion Cooking with Experience Madrid. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about cooking in your home kitchen. Learning new things, improving your skills, having fun, all that good kind of stuff. That's what we're all about here. And today, I'm excited to bring one of my friends on the show to help me talk about fusion cooking and improvising in the kitchen. And we're going across the Atlantic again to do this time to Madrid, Spain. And we're going to be talking to Izata Pereira, the co-founder of Experience Madrid, really cool online cooking resource. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Of course, before we get there, a couple of bits of housekeeping. First and foremost, the episode show notes for today's episode, you can find at kitchencounterpodcast.com/170. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/170. That'll take you to the show notes where you can find the recipes that Izata and I talk about, as well as information on Experience Madrid. If you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions or potential topics for an upcoming episode, you can email me directly to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me quite often over in our private Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. If you're interested in that, a lot of great people over there. In fact, Izata is part of that group as well. You can head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. And that will take you to the front page of the Facebook group where you can request to join. Now, you all know I approach this show as sort of a conversation about home cooking, and I love bringing new voices and new perspectives onto the show. And we just often have just really fun conversations with passionate people. And that's what today's episode is really all about. Izata and I are somewhat kindred spirits when it comes to our passion to get people in the kitchen and cooking at home. I do want to mention a quick thing about Experience Madrid before we get into it, and Izata will talk about that in our conversation as well, but it's an online cooking coaching school where you can either pay for one-on-one sessions, one at a time, and Izata will join you on a Zoom call and help you cook a dish that you both come up with, but she also does similar things with groups, like if you want to spend some time with a loved one or a family group at your house, or even across multiple Zoom calls, you can do that. She even does things like corporate team building events around cooking. And again, all of the information for this, how to find it, will be at kitchencounterpodcast.com/170. You can also head right over to her website at eatsperience.es. That's eatsperience.es. Eatsperience.es. Now, I have a very timely message that goes along with this episode, especially if you're listening to this within the first week that it comes out. Izata has a special going on right now in association with a nonprofit based in Spain called Chefugee, like refugee, except with the word chef. It's an organization that teams up with local refugees in Madrid and around Spain to host like dinners and pop-up events and meal events where the refugees, these folks that have come to Spain from other countries, are the chefs for the event. And then the proceeds they make from these events go to support small businesses and companies that are started by refugees. A very cool nonprofit and a very worthy cause. She has a really great deal right now, a buy one, get one free on her classes at Experience Madrid, where you buy one, you get a gift card. So if you buy one of her courses, you get a gift card of the same amount that you could either give to somebody else, you can give them both to somebody, whatever. But 5% of the purchases are donated to Chefugee, and this will be going on until Tuesday, December 8th. So if that sounds interesting to you after you listen to Izata and I's conversation, definitely take advantage of this promotion that helps out a great organization as well. All you need to do is use the promotional code buy one, gift one on the checkout page. And I'll put that in the show note page as well. All right, everybody. I really want to get into this conversation. It was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy Izata's amazing spirit. Without further ado, here's Izata Pereira of Experience Madrid. I'm here with Isata with Experience Madrid. Isata, welcome to the show.
Hi, Roger. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy and excited for being here.
Yes. Now, you're actually in Madrid as we speak in Spain, but you're not from Madrid, right?
Correct. I'm Italian. I was born in Savona, a small city on the northwest coast of Italy, near France.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Yeah. So this is going to be fun because you also, Experience Madrid, you have an online, would you call it a cooking school or coaching? You do several things.
Yes, exactly. I usually call it like a cooking coaching, cooking session, because it's not like a professional school where you get a degree and then you can just can go and show your degree like a professional diploma. It's more about home cooking and improving your cooking skill while having a quality moment for yourself, a great fun moment to share with family and friends if you want to have a group session. So the idea is having private online cooking sessions where I will share with you or family recipes or other fusion recipes that I like, and we can create everything based on your needs. And yes, the point is improving and feel more comfortable when it comes to cooking, but in a very non-stressful way. Like you have to have fun.
Right. And this is literally like one-on-one. So if someone were to do this, it would be you on one end of a Zoom call.
Exactly.
And then them on the other side, and you're actually cooking live together, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. This is the thing.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but, we connected because, one, I know that my listeners are going to love to hear from you because you have a lot of interesting background and things to say. Specifically about fusion cooking, which is what we're going to call. I mean, I'm going to say fusion, and I'm making the little things with my fingers in the air because we're going to talk about maybe what that means as well. But and then you're going to share maybe a couple of recipes that people can go out and try.
Of course, of course. Fusion, it's one of my favorite topics. So I'm here. Just you can ask me whatever you want, and we can keep talking and talking until tomorrow, I think.
Okay, well, let's see how that goes. What is fusion? I think everybody who's ever been to a restaurant or out to eat has probably at some point seen the term fusion on a menu or something like that, or even a restaurant concept. Yeah. But I don't think home cooks necessarily intentionally set out to do fusion cooking. So what do you mean when you say fusion?
Yes. I mean, bring the concept of fusion to its origins, because as you said, when we're talking about home cookings, or when someone is cooking at home, we don't think that we can do fusion cuisine, because in the last decades we have been taught that fusion is a concept really for like high cuisine and very difficult to achieve, and only super experienced chef can do. But in its core, fusion, it's just taking something, which can be flavors or techniques from another culture, and mix it with flavors or technique from another culture. And I think that this is how cuisines were born, because people has always moved around the world and get in touch with other people, and there has always been an exchange of flavors and recipes. And this is what fusion means to me.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And I think it's interesting, you're bringing up an interesting point, is these days fusion seems to be something that chefs and fancy restaurants embrace. And that's like the intentional taking two different things and smashing them together, if you will.
Yeah.
But really, fusion has been around as long as food and cooking has been around, right? Every dish we enjoy wasn't just born out of nothing, right? I mean, it was a result of previous ideas and cultures and ingredients coming together.
Yes, absolutely. And evolution. So you learn something new, and you add these new things that you have learned to the things that you already did. And then you can teach someone else a new thing and they will introduce it to their culture. So yes, I think and it's amazing. It's how the culture evolves.
Like I think I was just talking a few episodes ago about jambalaya. Mm-hmm. So that's a Louisiana dish. It's a rice and a meat and seafood usually cooked together, sometimes tomato, sometimes not. But that's almost like fusion cuisine with local ingredients and then bringing the idea of like a paella from Spain together. And even maybe some West African dishes like jollof rice, these red rice dishes. So that's another point. Fusion doesn't have to be just two things. It can be multiple influences coming together.
Yes.
Something new. But nobody would think of jambalaya as a fusion dish anymore, right? It's just it's like a Southern Louisiana thing.
Yes, because a new thing in time becomes the tradition. So this is also another point to see. Like something that for us is tradition, maybe 50 years ago, it wasn't a tradition and it was something like, or a betrayal to the tradition.
Yeah. And I think too, and sorry, we're just kind of going off chatting now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. I was also thinking too, I think these days when we think of fusion, we think of really iconic dishes or iconic recipes and combining those with other sort of iconic techniques or recipes or ingredients. So for example, like I would consider pizza an iconic dish.
Oh,
I mean, everybody knows what pizza is. I mean, pizza is pizza. Or tacos. Mm-hmm. Tacos are sort of an iconic dish. Everybody knows what a taco is. Or, I mean, there's dishes like this all over the world.
Yes.
And in fact, we're going to talk in a little bit about some recipes that you have that might work. I think tacos was one of them. But
correct.
What do you think about that? I mean, it's not so much like, I mean, to get the real fusion idea, you really need almost to bring iconic things together. Otherwise, you sort of miss the wow factor. Does that make sense? When you're trying to do fusion.
Yes, absolutely. Because the iconic dish, gives us like, this is something real. Everybody knows it. And I've been eating it for my entire life. And now I add like a twist, like unexpected twist or something that I would probably think about it before. And now it becomes something different, but it brings together their old traditions. For example, you mentioned pizza. And now I know that in the worldwide, maybe pizza with ananas is a pineapple pizza is something iconic. In Italy, you can still find people who see like a change.
Like that's weird.
Yes, like
there's people weird in the United States that think pineapple on a pizza is really weird. Too, by the way, I love it myself, but
I accepted it a few years ago. I have to be honest. It costed me a lot. But yes, the idea is this. And now it's not like it's not a new thing anymore. Now it's tradition, like it's a traditional flavor. And yes, this idea, you take something iconic and then you change something in it. And hopefully, if it works, if it works, because sometimes you can try and the result is not the best. But this is the good of, the fun part of cooking. You try and then you see how is the result. And then in time, the new things will become the new tradition until someone else arrives and change it again.
And it's funny, you mentioned, we talk about pizza, the first, and I was thinking about this earlier before we started recording, like, I wonder what the first fusion dish that I ever had, that I ever tasted was. And I think it must be taco pizza.
Oh, really?
Which is huge in the United States. Okay, so it's a pizza with taco toppings. So it might be like seasoned ground beef and chopped tomatoes and lettuce and maybe tortilla chips.
Oh, wow. This salsa, sounds amazing.
Guacamole or whatever. Yeah, but it's just a pizza with different toppings on it. So I was thinking I think that's the first fusion dish I ever had, which is kind of funny because it's not exactly fancy cuisine. In the United States.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be fancy. It it does have to be delicious and tasty. So
if you're a home cook,
yeah,
and you're thinking, I want to like intentionally try my hand at making fusion cuisine mm-hmm. for my family, where do you even begin? Let's assume you're not looking in cookbooks or anything. Yes. But I mean, what are some ideas where if I'm sitting at home, I'm like, I don't even know where I would begin. How do I combine flavors from different cuisines, or how do I take different ingredients and techniques and combine them? Do you have to be familiar with all of that before you try it, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah. In my opinion, it is easier if you already are familiar with one of them, at least. So you take something that you already know, and this is not a problem for you to prepare this dish. And then it's even easier if you have tried something from another culture, and so you decide to add these new things to your plate. I think that this is the easiest way, because it's just, okay, you know one flavor and you know one technique, and you know another one or another couple of flavors. And even if you don't know the technique, you try to recreate that flavor. And you can use the technique of the plate that you already know, because it's easy. I can make you the example how I came up with the idea. For me, I'm Italian. Pasta is the most, is the easiest thing that I can make. And the easiest way to combine pasta with another culture is to make a filled type of pasta, like ravioli, and without filling it with the classic fillings, but take another plate from another culture, blend it, and put it into the ravioli. So for me, these can be one of the easiest way. In another cultures, if you can knead, and so you have some types of bread or pizza or dough, this is another way, because you can create your own dough, and then you fill in it, or you stuff in, or you can create like a sort of toppings, taking the toppings from another cultures. This is the easiest way to start. But then, even if you don't know any technique at all, I think that if you are experimenting in your kitchen, I mean, we're talking about home cooking, there's no problem if you make a mistake or if the result's not good. So I would say follow your instinct. If you like flavor, if you like a texture, try to combine them. I don't know if it answers to your question.
It makes sense. So a lot of the people that listen to my podcast, or for example, join my Facebook group, which I think you're actually in the Facebook group.
Yes, I am. And I love it. People are so nice, and everybody cooks amazing. So
I know it's sometimes it's intimidating.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what people say they're interested in learning how to do better, and we may have talked about this when we talked a couple of weeks ago, but it is improvising in the kitchen. So they can follow a recipe just fine, but they really want to learn how to improvise. And I think part of that yearning is because we live in a very food media heavy culture, and they watch the Food Network or whatever, and there's Iron Chef and they're improvising everything apparently, right? And it's like, it's just a cool skill, but it takes a long time to understand ingredients and techniques and flavors well enough that you could just really improvise anything you want. Yeah. So what I'm getting around to is this idea of fusion is kind of like improvising, but almost with like a safety net, because you're not trying completely unknown flavor combinations or techniques or ingredients. You might be familiar with tacos and you might be familiar with, you know, how to make Korean braised beef ribs. Yeah. And, you know, you can improvise Korean braised beef rib tacos, right? And that's improvising, but it's really just taking two things you might be very familiar with and combining them in fusion.
Yes, absolutely. Because this is the way, I mean, as you said, you need a safety net. So just think about two things that you like and you can cook and try to put them together. For example, or a recipe that you learn that asks for a type of fish. Okay, maybe it can work with the type of meat, for example. And so you can try and doing it. And yes, improvising without having no idea at all, it's harder. And even if you know different plates and you try to combine them, also for me, it's very important that you are also open to the risk of the failure. And if you fail, don't worry, nothing bad happened. You will learn, because the only way to improve on your own, it's failing. So you fail once, okay, and so you learn a little thing that you have to change, or you found out that your idea was to combine these two flavors, and then they don't taste good at the end, and so you will adapt and improving each time until reaching what can be the perfection for you, because it's always like it's your prize, the good taste. So you're cooking first of all for you. So
I bet you could learn more from improvising and failing in a couple of dishes than you would by following a recipe step by step exactly 10 times. It's that. Yeah. When you follow a recipe, sometimes you get to the end of it and you might have a great dish, but you don't even really know what you did.
Yes.
You just followed the steps, and the steps were well written and they made sense and they worked out and you have a great dish. But it's like, well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, because maybe you. Yes. I'm sorry. I get excited when we talk about food. So I start talking. Sorry. Yes, the same you said, that you follow the recipe, but maybe you are not thinking about what are you doing. So, okay, the result is perfect, but then if you have to repeat it, it's like, oh, I don't know what I've just done. And improvising sometimes born from the needs. For example, when the quarantine started here in Madrid, you couldn't go out when you wanted, you couldn't find many ingredients at the supermarkets. And so people would ask me, I only have these 5 ingredients in the fridge. What can I cook with them? Because they've never thought about, okay, let's start thinking like actively and put together the ingredients in a way that makes sense. So also when you are in need, I think that your skills of improvising starts working better and faster.
Yeah, in the United States, that we have the saying that necessity is the mother of invention. I don't know if you have a similar saying, but when you need to do something, you get very creative.
Yes,
right? When you have no other choice.
Yes,
which incidentally is how like some of the great dishes in world history came about, right? Just it's like, here's the ingredients we have on hand. I have to make something, or maybe you live in a region where only a few types of ingredients thrive, and you just have to learn how to cook well with those ingredients, like corn in Latin America, right?
Uh-huh.
Corn tortillas. I mean, corn tortillas wouldn't exist if they didn't have to rely on corn, right? Yes. As a staple ingredient. Anyway, we're digressing. Yes. We're going all over the place.
I'm okay. Sorry. I feel like it's my fault.
No, it's not. It's not. It didn't occur to me until we started talking, really. I had never really considered like fusion and improvising sort of close cousins, if that makes sense, but they really are.
Yes, I think that they go all through the way together.
Yeah, exactly. What else do you want to talk about fusion? Do you have any other topics we want to touch on?
I always think about, because I love like thinking about food and histories and mix and the trends. And for example, as I'm Italian and you're American, this is something that we cannot not mention.
Okay.
Alfredo sauce.
Okay.
Pasta,
yes.
Alfredo. This is something that I swear I found out about the existence of this sauce 4 years ago. in my entire life in Italy, I had no idea. I've never heard about pasta Alfredo until my wife told me about it. And she asked me, where city is from this this sauce? And I was, I think that this doesn't exist in Italy. But let me ask, because maybe it's something, I mean, I'm from the northwest of Italy. Maybe it was something from the southeast, for example. So I started asking to many friends and family, and everybody just replied me, I've never heard about it. I've never heard about it. And at the end, I try to like study a little bit the situation. And this is probably something that is not Italian. It was right. like a fusion or a remodeling or a transition from a traditional pasta sauce from Italy to this new one, but which is, it's something that has nothing in common with any other sauces in Italy. And I think that this is amazing because probably it became so famous in the United States because someone took a real recipes from their heritage in Italy and they add or they use the ingredients that they had available in the States. I think mm-hmm. it was at the beginning of the 20th century probably. And so it becomes a traditional plate, a traditional Italian-American plate in the U.S. And it's still something unknown for Italians that who have never left Italy.
Right. Yeah. If you go to Italy and you go to a restaurant and they have Alfredo on the menu, you know you're in a tourist place.
Yes. Don't trust. Don't trust. I mean, unless you want to eat, American pasta. But if you are in a traditional place in Florence and they have on the menu Alfredo,
not so much. I don't have it here, but I recollect. I think Alfredo sauce was invented. I think it was in a hotel, and I could be getting my story wrong, but I remember a long time ago, wasn't it invented by some guy in a hotel restaurant? And I think he served it to some famous people, like movie stars, and they loved it. Yeah. And it took off from there. It was like just this, and then I don't know if his name was Alfredo or what, but or if the hotel or whatever, but I'm recollecting that. I could be totally wrong, but
it might.
That's
it
in
might
my brain.
Because there are some stories about it, and yes, the guy Alfredo di Lelio the first to be exact. These guys existed, and one of the stories said that he took a traditional Italian pasta, really, really poor, but still traditional nowadays, which is pasta with butter and parmesan. We call it pasta al burro. Burro means butter. And he added, he created like a sort of cream with whole cream, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And then during the years, other chefs added, for example, chicken at one point. But there are different stories about it. But you're right. I also read about this one in a restaurant, and then someone very famous loved it, and so it became like a trend. Like
everybody came to that restaurant and wanted this dish or
yes.
something.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother topic, probably for a whole podcast series about like the origins of famous dishes.
Yes. But
it's interesting. What's interesting to me about that is it's not that old of a dish. If you consider it's probably maybe 100 years old mm-hmm. or so.
Yeah.
It was invented in a modern, what's the word I'm looking for? Society.
Yeah.
And like, we still don't know exactly how it started. There's just so much myth making around food and the origins of certain dishes. It's anyway, very interesting, but that's a great example of something that you wouldn't find in traditional Italian cuisine, but is all over the place in the United States.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go to the grocery store and buy jars of Alfredo sauce right next to the marinara sauce, right? So,
and it's delicious. I mean, then I tasted it and I loved it.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad at all.
No, oh, no, it's amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, cream and cheese and butter.
Yes, so. How you can't like it.
Exactly. Unless you have a dairy allergy, I suppose.
Yes.
not so good there. So let's talk a little bit about, you have a couple of recipes you want to share.
Yes.
And I'm going to put these in the show notes, which I'll mention at the introduction at the beginning of the show. But these recipes, and we don't have to go through them in super detail, but maybe we can just talk high level sort of ingredients and concepts of why they're fusion recipes. But they, I haven't made them yet myself, but they look delicious. And one, we already talked about sort of tacos, right? Mm-hmm. So this would be Mexican tacos with Italian lemon shrimp and Bolivian, I'm going to not pronounce this right. Although I do speak a bit of Spanish, huacaina sauce?
Huacaina? Yes.
Huacaina sauce?
Correct.
Okay, Mexican tacos with Italian lemon shrimp and Bolivian huacaina sauce. And then that's one you're going to share. And then we have another one, which you also kind of mentioned, which is an Italian ravioli filled also with a Mexican dish, tinga de pollo. So let's talk for a minute about the taco dish.
Yes, of course. The taco dish. What's the story behind it? I love tacos. And here in Madrid, there is an amazing, very small place of tacos. Very, very, I think, very Mexican, because all the Mexican people here in Madrid would go there. And they have this delicious taco, very homemade. And one time, we were, my wife and I, that was one of our best places in Madrid. So we wanted also to try making taco at home. So basically, I learned how to make tacos and studying alone from Gabriela Camara, a great chef, great Mexican chef. And so I thought, okay, let's try. So first step has been, okay, let's make the tortilla tacos, and it works. So first step done. Then the first times we did like classic Mexican filling for toppings for tacos, and once I felt that I could now the things that we were saying before, I felt that I could manage it, and so at that moment I thought, okay, let's create something. Something new, something it's only for us, let's say. And one of my best, my favorite plate, pasta plate in Italy, in my part of Italy, because of the coast, we have many shrimps and other seafoods and fish. And my favorite pasta is with shrimp. Very, very simple, with shrimp, with a little bit of lemon, and that's it. And so I thought, okay, shrimp on a taco sounds good. And the additional thing was the need to add something like a sauce, something creamy on top of it. So it would be like perfect. So we have the taco, the tortilla, we have the shrimp, which is something tender but solid, and then something to complete. And as my wife is Bolivian, I got the chance to know many Bolivian dishes. And it's another cuisine. It's very, very delicious. And they have the sauce made with peanuts, which is something that in Italy, it's not so used. For example, peanut butter, it's not very used in Italy. It's not something common in our cuisine, but you can tell it's delicious too. And the huacaina sauce, it's basically peanut butter with broth and spicy. So it's like a spicy.
Like a cayenne pepper or something. Something to give it some heat.
Yes, exactly. They call it ají picante, which is spicy ají. And ají, it's like a pepper. So it's like a spicy pepper. And the result is this cream, like a little bit more liquid of a classic peanut butter. And it's spicy too. And they usually add or broth or milk. And my idea was, okay, let's try to put this thing together. And to make it, to give another twist, which is not so common in Italy, it's ginger. Ginger, it's not a spicy, I mean, now everybody starts using ginger in Italy too. But it wasn't something so common. We don't actually use it a lot with pasta or main courses, but it works amazing with fish, because it's fresh and it gave like this twist. And so we tried and we put together this, this taco with lemon shrimps, with ginger, and this huacaina sauce on top. And I can tell it's one of my favorite dishes. Right in this moment, it's on my top five.
Wow.
Yes, this is amazing.
It's interesting because I'm looking at the recipe and when I was seeing the huacaina sauce, it almost has like a Thai.
Yes.
Doesn't it? Because I'm much more familiar with like peanut sauces in Thai and Eastern okay. cuisines.
Yes, they have these in common.
Yeah, exactly. But this sounds really good. And you know what? I think peanut butter or peanuts and shrimp are amazing together.
Yes.
I think it's like a combination that not a lot of people get yes. on board with, but it's really good.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it's something, it's a combination much more common, for example, in Asia or on the east of the world. And mm-hmm. so for us, it's not, we don't think often about it, but it's something great. And yes, and then in that one, I don't know, I call it like the perfect taste, because you really have, I don't know, you're eating at least three cultures in it, and you yeah. can feel each one of it. So yes, if people who will listen to us, if you want to try it, if you want to try the recipe, please do it. And then let me know what you think, because I'm really proud of the creation of this recipe. So spread it with the word and enjoy it.
Okay. So I will definitely, we'll get that. Oh, I just lost the title of it. Where did I find it? Oh yeah. So we'll get the Mexican tacos with lemon shrimp and huacaina sauce.
Yes.
In the show notes as well. But you have another one. And this one I'm not, I know what ravioli is, mm-hmm. of course, but I'm not familiar with tinga de pollo. What is that?
Okay. Tinga de pollo is another very famous Mexican dish, very traditional. And mm-hmm. pollo is chicken, mm-hmm. basically to make it simple. It's chicken cooked with pepper, and it is usually hot. It's spicy. So they have spiced pepper inside too, just to have an idea. And okay. then if you want, we can go, we can see the details too, but just to have like a context. And it's another very typical topping for tacos. And so I thought, okay, I love tinga de pollo, and I really wanted, you're seeing, I love mixing my roots with new cultures. So I needed to create a ravioli, a typical Italian ravioli, with something different inside. And so I cooked it was, I think, the day after making the tinga de pollo tacos. I had more tinga de pollo, like leftovers. I blend them, and I use them to stuff the ravioli. And again, I can tell, try it. Because if you like chicken, if you like peppers, this is another, like, and it's so simple, because it's amazing. You maybe can't say that you can have Mexico inside an Italian ravioli, but you can. And it's something that now I'm starting to do it with everything. So, okay, I like this plate, I blend it, and I put it into a ravioli.
Yeah, which is cool, because I think if you can get your ravioli down well, I mean, the sky is the limit there, right? I mean, that's like, you could put anything you want in yes. those things. That would be yes. amazing. It, sauces, you could go crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the same with people who can make like empanadas or all this type of stuffed dough. You just can change the stuffing. Yep. And yep. I know, I love this. It's yes, no, the cooking world, it's amazing. And I love eating, so even better.
Okay, so ravioli stuffed with tinga de pollo. So we're going to put that recipe up on the show notes as well. Let's talk for a minute about Eatsperience.
Yes.
So we mentioned it at the very beginning. So you do online coaching, one-on-one. It looks like you also do group sessions as well, if you want. And I do notice you have a special fusion offering as well. So if you want to do like a session, you can focus on fusion, which of course we've talked a little bit about today.
Yes.
Which is cool. So if I wanted to do that, how would I do that?
Yes. Yeah. You can go, of course, first on my website, which is www.eatsperience.es. ES stands for Earth Spain, and the website is in English. And then you can see, yes, the three types of session that I offer, which is one, the fusion. So one-time session, about 2 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours of session, depending on the menu. And it's very easy, the process, because you can book through the site, through the website. Then you received a form to fill with your dietary needs, your cooking level, your tools, because the point is to enjoy your home cooking. So with your tools, your kitchen. And depending on your answers, I will send you a different type of menus, so you can choose. And of course, I have menu for all the every type of dietary needs. So don't worry. And then, okay, we have the menu and you get the list of ingredients to purchase and you book the session. I have my calendar open for you and you just decide the date and the hour. And there's no problem if we live in two different time zones because I love it. So maybe you will probably...
We're making it work right now.
Exactly. And then during the class... during the session, if you choose then like a one-to-one, it will be only me and you, and you and the people who live with you, because for one screen you can connect with all the people who live in your home.
Okay.
So you can enjoy it all together, and I will be guiding you for the one-to-one session. I'm usually not cooking because I am watching what you are doing. And so I take the times, depending on the type of oven or the type of stoves. I need to remember you, like the timing. So, okay, in 1 minute, you have to check the oven. And now you can turn off the stove and go in exactly each step until the menu is ready and you are ready to eat. And this worked the same way for another course that I have, which is the traditional Italian recipes. This is a 3-session course in which we will see for each session a menu formed by a main dish, a side dish or a sauce, and a dessert, typical from my family's tradition. So we will have pasta, we will have meat or fish, and of course, depending on your dietary needs, we can change the ingredients. And the third type is the group session. This is a group session where you choose the people you want to cook with. And this was born because I realized that almost everybody in this world has family or friends in other countries and other places in the world. And that is for you to share the moment with the people that you love. So the menu will be the same. You will be cooking at the same time and I will be guiding each one of you. Usually it's not more than 5 different screens because I want you to have my entire attention. So
it would be impossible after 5, I think. That would be hard to keep track of people.
Yes, this is hard. We tried because people asked, but I'm sure that I can give you my 100% of my attention to each one until, let's say, 5 screens. And then the best thing of this format is that at the end, when everybody have their meal in the plate, I leave the video call, but they stay there. You stay there. So you
have
can
a meal
eat.
Together.
Yeah, so you have the meal together. And it's amazing because we have done this way, for example, surprise birthday party with part of the family in Panama, others in the States, other in Berlin. And the point is, okay, for someone would be dinner, for others would be lunch, but people are staying together and they don't have to wait for the next family trip, for example.
I love that. And who knows when the next family trip is going to be, given the world we live in. But even after things go back to normal, I think this is really cool. And I think it's awesome. It would be a great couples night activity.
Yes.
Like if you just had your partner and you wanted to have fun cooking, they could book one of your sessions and on the same screen. That would be fun. I think that would be really cool.
Yes, I did it too. And yes, they actually told me that it was like a great date. because exactly. It's something different. You are in your home, but you're doing something that you would never done in your own home.
Yeah, I think that's cool. So what about social media? Do you have any social media you want to share?
Yes. You can find me on the Instagram, Experience Madrid, all together, and at Facebook, this under the same name. And then for, I also have a group on Facebook, but I don't know, all the people in your group, I see that everybody cooks amazing, but yes, they're great chefs, each one of them. But if someone who doesn't feel comfortable in the kitchen want to also see like very, very, very easy recipe, the aim of the group that I created is exactly this one, for people who feel that they can't cook hard recipes right now and they want to start easy step by step. In fact, the name of the group is Cooking Easy to Eating Daily. Daily stands for delicious, and it's something that I always say, like I try something and it will be like, daily, and I got it from my wife's family.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll definitely put your Facebook group info in the show notes too. So, I think people should definitely go out and track you down and check out what you're doing, because it's really cool. And I think it's just your passion for cooking and sharing that with people is contagious. So
thank you.
All right. Well, that was a super fun conversation about fusion. We talked a lot about improvising, and we've got a couple of really cool fusion recipes to try. So Izatta, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much to you, Roger. I swear, I loved it. I will stay here forever. So thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Izatta of Experience Madrid. As I mentioned, she's extremely passionate about cooking and food and eating and combining the food ways of different cultures together to create fusion cuisine that you can do in your own home kitchens. Pretty cool stuff. And it was a lot of fun to talk to her. Like I said, we have a lot in common. So I really, really enjoyed this. So thank you, Izatta, so much for coming on the show. Everything we mentioned as far as how to find her social media and everything with Experience Madrid can be found at kitchencounterpodcast.com/170. And don't forget, until December 8th, 2020, she is offering a buy one, get one promotion where 5% of the purchases will be donated to Chefugee, the nonprofit in Spain that helps refugees by organizing culinary events. Great organization. If you're interested at all in what Izatta has to offer, definitely take advantage of that. Well, you know what? That's going to do it for another episode of The Kitchen Counter. Thanks, everybody, so much for tuning in, listening along. Hope you got some nuggets of wisdom or new ideas out of this episode. If you think your family or friends might get something out of this podcast, I really encourage you to let them know about it and show them how they can find it either on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio or wherever it is that you find your podcasts. Well, I hope December is treating you well so far. We've got 1 month to go in this crazy year of 2020. So I hope you can find some time to get in the kitchen and find your happy place making food for your family, friends, and the ones you love. All right, everybody, until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.